we're not just having a baby, we finally figured out this week, but we are also, for the first time, having a middle child. And that's new to our family. Sam has always been a big brother. Jack has never been a big brother, and he has never, in the same way, become a middle child. And this is really fascinating to watch, sort of the psychology of children, because even I can see what's going on. And it's fascinating to watch the way that both boys are dealing with this. All of a sudden, something clicked in the last few weeks that another kid is going to be in here, and we better kind of figure out who we are in order for all of this to work. And so what I've seen from Sam is that he's been asking a lot of questions about everything in life, as if to gain some sort of special role as sort of fact teller, knowledge builder in the family. And so it's been fascinating going around and watching him. We were at a mall this week, and they had the big chess pieces, a little place for kids to play. And Dad, what's that piece? Okay, well, that's a rook. Well, what's this piece? Oh, that's a bishop. You know, that's the queen and the king. And we went through all of them and kind of talked about positions. And here comes Jack, who runs through and knocks over all of the pieces. And I said, those pieces that he knocked over, those were pawns. So we got to teach him in that process. But what I loved is both of those are sides of my personality that I got to kind of see come out at once, which is like this great thirst for knowledge, to share my knowledge with other people, not necessarily to impart wisdom, but to impart my impressiveness. And then the other side, which is knocking everything over, going, notice me, notice me. And that's what I saw from my kids in that moment. It was so funny. Just because there was this weird thing of like, I need to be known, I need to be recognized. I watched a video this week. I won't even say I read a quote. I watched a video of somebody quoting something that stuck with me. And it was, this guy was an astronaut, okay? And he was doing a panel conversation with people about his mission and coming back. And somebody asked the question to him, what's it like coming back to Earth after being in space? And he says, you know, there's a scene in the Lord of the Rings, in the last book of the Lord of the Rings, and Frodo and his whole fellowship, they've saved Middle Earth, they saved the world from utter destruction and evil, and they walk into a pub thinking they're pretty hot stuff right now, you know? They've saved the world from utter doom. Everyone is going to flock to them. This is an astronaut sharing this story, by the way, with a panel. And he goes, and they walk into the bar, and nobody knows who they are. Nobody pays attention to them. In fact, people are paying more attention to this guy who came in with a giant pumpkin. And he says, now I'm not saying it's the same thing as coming back down from space, but not a day goes by where I don't think about that stupid pumpkin. I loved that quote. Because there is that part of me that needs that kind of recognition. And I wanted to start today a little bit with a thought experiment. I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm always a little bit nervous when somebody tells me to close my eyes in church, ever since I got accidentally saved at a revival because I closed my eyes. That's another story. But I want you to think on this for a second, okay? You get invited to a party. You get invited to a dinner party of 10 people. And nobody in that gathering knows each other. Everyone is a stranger to one another. And you knock on that door, and I want you to imagine for a second that your, whatever you want to call it, your unspoken thought, your subconscious, whatever you want to call it, what's your end game? If you had to share what that truth is out loud, what's your goal of your party? Because I think about conversation so often as a war, you know, and I think about this. What's your goal? What's your objective by the end of the night? What do you want people to say about you when you're leaving? Or when they're telling their friends about this party? If I'm being really honest, there's part of me that wants people to leave saying, that was the funniest most interesting guy I've ever met in my entire life. A little bit of a stretch, sure. What's your goal? Just don't spill, maybe? I don't know. Maybe it's to be impressive. Maybe it's to share how much money you have. That's never been a problem for me. Maybe it's for people to go and saying, that guy truly has something that I wish I had. Do any of these resonate, Land? Did any of you think this? I, as my goal, want to know the needs and the thoughts and the desires and the hearts of every single person there. And I want to leave being able to help someone else with one of their greatest needs. Probably not. I think as humans, we are designed with, or maybe not designed, but we live in this kind of broken life wherein we think about our own needs before the needs of others. I think we so often think about how we want to be presented that we don't often think about the things that are going on with other people. Everyone else walked into that same party having their own needs. And what we focus on is our own needs being met. And I think, you guys ever have the experience when you're reading a page and your brain is kind of thinking about what you have to do that day or what you haven't done that day, and you go through the page and you get to the bottom of it and you say, I have no idea what I've been reading for the last four pages. I think we do that with people. I think we do that with people sometimes. I think so often we're so focused on ourselves and what we need and our needs being met that we kind of glaze over. We kind of don't think about what other people are going through a lot of the time. At least I don't. And I think this is kind of one of those symptoms of the fall. Because remember that God walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. And they shared life together. And as soon as they sinned, as soon as they broke the commandment of God, what is the first thing that they do? They run and they hide and then they clothe themselves. And then they blame one another for the problems that they have. And ever since then, I think we've been trying to clothe ourselves to hide our nakedness, the nakedness of our own insecurity. Or that nakedness of being too embarrassed of who we truly are. And we try to clothe ourselves with other stuff, whether it's our arrogance or our wittiness or tearing other people down so that we don't get torn down ourselves. Sometimes I try to be funny so that I'm the first one that laughs at me. You know, we do these things and we clothe ourselves. And in reality, though, our greatest need is not to hide from what we are truly experiencing, but to be truly seen. The worst thing in so many ways is that desire to be seen and not seen. And I think about the saddest scripture I've come across in a while is that start of John, where it talks about who God truly is, that he was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God, and it just speaks of God's power and breathing life into existence, and then it says this very sad little statement that Jesus came into the world that he created, but yet he was not recognized. Isn't that sad? And why wouldn't we recognize him? Probably because we have such a great desire in ourselves to be known that we never see God in front of us. God came into the world he created, and we didn't recognize him. Probably because we're thinking too much about how other people see us. So we hide in our pretense. We hide in our desire to be impressive. And we don't see God right in front of us. How heartbreaking is that? And then this week we come to this incredible scripture that Brother Deacon Jerry just read for us with the good news, the reflective verse of that sad one we just talked about. Because Jesus is going into the towns and the communities and seeing the people. And what does it say? This beautiful sentence that he looked upon them and he had compassion for them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Do you see the difference between that verse in John and the one that we have here? That while he came into this world that he created, no one recognized him. And this one that we read today, that as Jesus walked through this world, he looked at the people and he immediately saw their greatest need. Maybe this isn't the deepest theological sermon I've ever given, but I want you to think about that root of what we're talking about today. Because every one of us has a desire to be seen and to be recognized and to be known. And I don't believe that you can truly know someone or love someone until you see someone. This is the greatest news, that Jesus came here and he saw you. And not just the persona or the clothing that you wear or the way that you have put up that kind of defensiveness to not be seen at all, but Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. There is no greater love than that, that God came really in spite of who we are, knowing everything about us, knowing our hearts and our brokenness, our pretense and our desire to be impressive, and he came up and he looked at you and he sees you. Do you know what an incredible gift it is? That the God who made us, who knows everything about us, sees you. And he sees whatever you're going through. Maybe you're going through a time of brokenness or insecurity. Maybe you're going through a time where you feel like, I have no one that I can share this with at all. Isn't that the greatest news of all, that God, walking on this earth, sees you? He knows you and he loves you. And so much so that he's willing to walk to that cross and die for you. So what does this have to do with the harvest? What does this have to do with World Mission Sunday, which is what we celebrate today? What does this have to do with the kingdom? Well, this is a brand new kingdom, isn't it? Because when you think about the empires and the kingdoms and the sovereignties of this world, we are but pawns. We are the unnamed, numbered masses of human, just a flood of humanity that comes in to make up a kingdom. But in the kingdom of God, wherein he has planted the harvest and made you and watered each and every seed, he sees you. He knows you. He knows your name and your heart and every single thing that's going on within you. You are all seen by God today. He sees you. Jesus sees you. We are his. We are part of a kingdom where we are no longer nameless, but we are the firstborn heirs by his death. What an incredible gift it is to be seen by our Lord and our Savior. he sees you.